Nevin, good morning to you. Happy Friday.
And you too, Marty. How are you keeping? Are you good?
I'm great. Between mango and squash curries and bits of harissa lamb, sure, I'm worn out with all the great recipes you're giving us week after week. Listen, getting closer and closer to the summer and to an optimistic future, please God, for McNeans and for yourself and the family and the restaurant. Please God.
Yeah. We're getting excited now and getting ready, because there is quite a bit of work on behind the scenes going on and with reservations. Like, we've always had someone, well, actually two people, Monday to Friday in reservations, so a lot of people are booking and rescheduling and whatever, and that's a challenge within itself. But, you know, there is positive. A lot of my staff are coming back, thank God, because you must remember we've only been open a week in the last, since December. So, you know, we'll all be a bit rusty, but we can't wait to welcome back our guests.
I know that.
We'll have the same kind of, shall we say, like, experience that we had last year, that one sitting, just residence only. It worked well for us. So that's the plan. Please God, it works out.
And you've told us already, and I won't repeat it because it's upsetting, I know, to you, how much you've probably lost over the last while. It's a phenomenal amount of money, and please God, safety first, and that's the trick. And now the world hopefully will be your oyster very soon again, and off you go.
I mean, like, you know, I'm very optimistic. We know each other a long time, and I'd be just so happy and just grateful to go back, that we've booked some place, that we have customers to go back to, and we've jobs to go back to.
Well, that's the thing, please God. And Michael is putting petrol in the car as we speak. And Sinead is, I think she's organising passports for us to get up to you. So please God, we'll be sitting in the foyer before long.
Well, listen, we'll have one big reunion when you come back up.
Please,
I can
God,
tell you that.
It'll be,
I can't wait
it'll
to
it'll
hug you.
And absolutely, I can't wait to get hugged, to be honest with you. So listen, talk to me about these desserts of yours. What
now,
you
talking about hugging, you need passion in your life, because we're going to do it.
Oh, my life is full of passion here.
It's a lemon and passion fruit posset, and it's the easiest dessert. It's a dessert that we make in the cookery school with our guests, and it's so simple. So I'll explain what it is, and then I'll go through the recipe. So it's a reaction of lemon juice and cream. So the lemon juice will set the cream. There's no gelatin in this.
So it's the lemon and juice.
There's no eggs in this.
Yeah, it is.
So what it is, it's 1 3/4 pints of cream, and we usually just use whipping cream, which is perfect. You put that into the saucepan with roughly about 9 ounces of caster sugar. Now, you need to be careful with this, because you don't want it too sweet. So this is really important. So you put that into your saucepan, and then the juice and the rind of 3 lemons, and that really depends on the size of the lemon. You can make it with lime, but it needs the lemon, because it will not set. It's the citric acid in the lemon that sets this.
Okay.
So then we bring that to the boil, Marty, and then we're going to put in 2 large passion fruit. So the passion fruit are not expensive. I think they're maybe 3 for €1 in the supermarkets, in the vegetable section. Yeah, they're gorgeous.
How are they so cheap?
You cut them in half.
Mad, isn't it?
What's that?
How are they so cheap?
I know. Listen, the volume, they can buy it probably,
I suppose.
It's cheaper than I can buy them anyway, to be truthful with you.
You should go
to
Dunn's.
But the passion fruit seeds are lovely. You hit the nail right in the head. they give great texture, and they give great freshness, and that's what I want from this. You can put in vanilla into this, you can put orange and lemon, or sorry, lime zest into this, but it's a really simple dessert. So what you do, you put it into the sauce when you bring it all to the boil for about 2 to 3 minutes.
You want to be careful with this, I'd say. You want to be careful.
Well, not really. It's pretty foolproof, to be honest with you now, genuinely. So remember the juice of the lemon and the zest, and then what you're going to do, Marty, you're going to taste it. So say I think it's too sweet. Okay, it needs more lemon. If it's too bitter, more sugar. So taste it. Don't have it too sweet, please don't, for your listeners.
Right.
So you bring it to the boil for 3 minutes, and then what you do, you can strain it through a sieve if you want to, but then you're going to remove that lovely seeds and the zest. So I wouldn't. You're making an extra step for yourself there. So what you would do is pour it into a little kind of like a ramekin, or a, you know, a nice teacup, or even a nice martini glass, and you're going to pour it maybe halfway up, and it's going to set. So this, like, recipe here that I'm giving you will serve 4 to 6 people. Probably 6 people it will serve, to be honest with you. So you can't unmold it. It's not like a panna cotta or a bavoir, which is a fancy name for a set mousse, because there's no gelatine, so it will set in a ramekin or a dish.
And that sits and then there, you that's just the end of it,
Exactly, and then put that into, or a long stem glass, for example. So, Marty, put it into the fridge for at least 2 to 3 hours, overnight is best, and that's it. I recommend to serve that with a couple of raspberries. A little bit of whipped cream is optional, but you have cream in it. What I really like with that personally is some lovely strawberries or raspberries, and then a little bit of texture, shortbread, from a local bakery or whatever, yeah. or biscotti biscuits. Which
did you serve this in the restaurant?
Yes. You serve a small one,
yes, you do. Yes, you do.
It's one of her signature pre-desserts before your main dessert.
That's
and
right.
My daughter, Lucia, loves it, so she does.
I bet you do.
It's gorgeous.
You're robbing the ball off the tables. I can almost see her now.
Yeah, you're right.
It's lovely one. Lemon and passion
fruit. But it's so simple.
It's gorgeous.
And you have another. It's light and it's fresh.
And you're doing two. You're doing two.
Yeah, well, we like to make a mess in the kitchen. I'm told you do. And this is a rhubarb and ginger Eton mess. So there's crushed meringue in this. Yeah, it's a really simple dessert. And so what we do...
Does it come from Eton? Is that the idea?
Well, I think it originates in Scotland. That's a really good
question.
I think so now. Now, you've asked me a question I can't really answer.
I don't know.
I suppose I should have done my research.
I just assumed Eton College because that's the only thing I could think of.
Well,
I wouldn't know.
Listen, I could be. I stand corrected if I do. You know, I mean, you put me on the spot there now.
I'll get one of the management to check it for us.
Will you please? Thank you, sir.
You carry on.
Rhubarb is gorgeous and it's plentiful and a lot of people grow it and they're always looking for recipes. And my auntie, she lives in Dara, she grows the most beautiful rhubarb and gives me bags of it. So this is something we do and I make at home and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Very good for you.
So, yeah, absolutely. You trim your rhubarb into about 1-inch pieces. So you trim it top and tail it. Then you put it into a little kind of a baking sheet. Sprinkle it over with caster sugar. So that's about 3 ounces, about 3 large spoonfuls of caster sugar. And then what you do with that is you literally roast that in the oven at 200 degrees for about 15 minutes. Now, that's really, really important because it's lovely. So in the recipe, it says stem ginger, which is kind of like in a little jar. So it's kind of like caramelized candy. That's the word. So it's a little bit of... stem ginger, because ginger and rhubarb works really well. But if you don't want to use the stem ginger, you can use fresh ginger, just grated over the rhubarb and then just roast it off. So Marty, that's in the oven, that's done and that will keep. Yeah. So literally what you do is give it a really good shake just to remove the stem ginger, and then literally you put the stem ginger over for the last 5 minutes until the rhubarb is tender, but it's not mushy, but the juices are syrupy. Does that make sense? So it's kind of slightly thickened. Now, if you were stuck for time, you could do it in a frying pan. I've often done frying pan. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So just if you're a little bit stuck for time, you didn't want to use sugar, you could do this with maple syrup or honey, which would work gorgeous. So that's your rhubarb done. You have your stem ginger there. Then you whip your cream, about three quarters of a pint of cream.
Oh,
and we're going to make what we call a creme chantilly. Sounds very fancy, but it's just sweetened cream.
Chantilly.
Before you whip the cream, if you put a little bit of icing sugar, I have 3 tablespoons, maybe cut back and put 2 in and see if you need it, because you have your rhubarb, which is kind of sweet and sour. Then you have your meringue, which is sweet too. So just, you don't want it too sweet.
Lovely.
You want a little bit of acidity, and that's what the rhubarb will give you. So you whip your cream, and then all you do is just literally get your meringue. You can buy ready-made meringue in the supermarket. I'm not going to give you a recipe for it. So broken into bite-sized pieces. Depends how big your mouth is, says you.
Uh-huh.
And
That's fine.
Sorry, that was a bit rude.
No, that's fine.
And then what you do is you just literally mix everything together. So you fold in the meringue into your whipped cream. You can do layers of the rhubarb. So, say you were doing this in a glass, like a lovely martini glass or a trifle glass would work really well. You'd put a layer of that lovely rhubarb, then a layer of your whipped cream and your meringue. So you have lots of lovely layers and textures, and then you serve it immediately. So your meringue is done, your cream is whipped, and then your roasted rhubarb. That's the key with the ginger. It's such a simple dessert, but the tartness, it's just a lovely, lovely, lovely tasty dessert, which is so simple.
Oh, it sounds terrific. It really does. Michael has checked. He's checked for us. Eton mess originated. Believed to originate from Eton College. There you go, in Windsor.
Well done.
Yeah. So, Michael Finn.
You were right.
At the annual cricket match, it was served at the annual cricket match against the pupils of Harrow School, because Eton is a boarding school near Windsor. There you go. So now, that's Eton mess.
Wow. You got it right.
So,
well done.
Well, I was lucky. It's a Trivial Pursuit. That, I probably found it there somewhere. It probably came up as a question. It could be my special subject when I go on Mastermind. The origin of Eton mess. That'd be good.
You'd be top of the class. Well done.
There's only one answer. Anyway, listen, well done. That was very good. Yes, sir. What?
You could throw in a couple of fresh raspberries into this, and you could throw in some lovely strawberries, because rhubarb and strawberry works really well.
Do they?
But you need acidity or it's too sweet. Oh, yeah. Rhubarb and strawberries, gorgeous combination.
Yeah, this is a big dessert, isn't it? This is a bit of business being done here. This is lovely.
Yeah, it's tasty, and I just think it's really, 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 really delicious. And yeah, it's light at the same time. It's probably not as light and refreshing as the posset, but no, I think I'm giving you both options for your listeners.
So well, I agree. Now, so that's the rhubarb and ginger eaten mess, and before that, the lemon and passion fruit posset. They're both gorgeous. They're both lovely. Well done to you. You're very good.
Thank you.
Now, I should be away next week across the campus. I'm flying nowhere for the Eurovision, and then I should return, please God, to talk to you in a week or so. So listen, keep the faith, my friend.
And, well, you look after yourself, and listen, have a safe journey across the campus, OK?
I will, yeah. I'll be at home if anybody needs me. Good luck. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye. I'm Artie. Chat to you. God bless. Bye-bye.
I'll play the Eurovision theme to take me on my trip.